In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst. If Pentecost can be likened to a birthday party for the church, then today the Feast of All Saints can be likened, I think, to a graduation party. St. John Chrysostom says that 7 days after the Feast of Pentecost, we begin to celebrate the first fruits of what happened at Pentecost. Pentecost, of course, being the birthday of the church, when the seed of the Holy Spirit was planted into the fertile ground of the infant disciples, like a seedling tree. And today we celebrate the full blooming of those trees which sprouted from the seeds which were planted by the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. From the very earliest days of the church, the saints have been honored and placed before us as examples that we are called upon to look at and to imitate. Examples of what we too can become if we only provide a fertile ground for the Holy Spirit to grow in our lives. Very early in the church, and you can't get much earlier than St. Clement of Rome, who died in the year 97. He is mentioned in the Acts of the Apostles, and I think St. Paul also mentions him in one of his epistles. St. Clement had this to say in an epistle that he wrote to the church at Corinth, to the Corinthians, just like St. Paul did. He says, "The humility and godly submission of so great and illustrious men have rendered not only us, but also all generations before us, glorious and better people. Having these examples," he says, "great and glorious set before us, let us steadfastly run to the Father and cleave to his great gifts, his gifts of peace." St. Clement sounds a lot like St. Paul in his epistle to the Hebrews today. St. Clement also goes on to say, "Let us be imitators of those who in goatskins and sheepskins went about proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, whose testimony is borne to us in the Scriptures." What is a saint? A saint is a witness to God's holiness by the holiness of his or her own life. In the truest sense of the word, all saints, whether they are murdered or not, are actually martyrs. The Greek word martyrion means witness, and all saints are witnesses to the glory of God by the way they live their own lives. They are witnesses. Last night we heard a reading from the prophecy of Isaiah, and 3 or 4 times in that short little reading, Isaiah said, "Let the nations bring forth," the nations, he meant the pagans, "let the pagan nations bring forth their witnesses, their martyrs. But you are my witnesses, saith the Lord God." St. Paul echoes this today when he says, "Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, put aside your sin," he says, "put it aside, and run the race with endurance, looking only to Jesus Christ." These are the graduates that we celebrate with today, the saints, those who have run the race and who have finished the course, and who have received the eternal diploma, recognizing a job well done. We heard Christ say several weeks, months ago actually, all the way back on the Meat Fair Sunday, that the saints are those sheep whom he places on his right-hand side at the throne of God, who hear those joyous words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Just what does it take for us to hear those same words, those blessed words, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? What does it take to become a saint? I think we are given the first step today in the very first sentence we heard in today's gospel from St. Matthew. When the Lord says, "Whosoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven." This is at one and the same time both incredibly simple, and yet most of us find it nearly impossible to do. St. Ignatius Bryantcheninov, a very erudite 19th century Russian bishop, said this. He said, "This confession that Christ is talking about requires a decisive self-denial to ourselves. And it must be a triumphant self-denial. It must be made before all men, before all angels and all saints, and even before all demons. You notice at the baptism service, back when we receive them as catechumens, we tell them to turn around and spit on the devil. This self-denial has to be witnessed even before the demons. St. Ignatius says, before earth and before heaven. This confession of Christ, as he tells us in the gospel today, requires a rejection of self to the point, as he says, of taking up our cross and following him. Taking up our cross, nailing our own flesh and our own will to it so that we might die to ourselves in order that we may live in Christ. And that's what the saints did. I just noticed when I was reading a prayer, the prayer that the priest says while everyone is singing the troparions, it says, O holy God, who dost rest in the saints. God actually rests in the heart of the saints. He makes his home in the heart of the saints, who are those who are willing to open that heart to him by self-denial. St. Innocent of Alaska wrote a beautiful little treatise called The Indication of the Way into the Kingdom of Heaven. And he says this. He said, the first duty of a Christian disciple, and by that he means a saint, because that's what we're called to be. The first duty of a Christian, a disciple and follower of Christ, is to deny oneself. And what that means, he says, is to give up one's bad habits, to root out of the heart all that ties us to the world, not to cherish bad desires and bad thoughts, but to quench and suppress the bad thoughts and avoid the occasions of sin. Not to do or desire anything from self-love, but to do everything out of the love of God. Yet all this denial, which sounds so hard for us, all this cross-carrying, which we run away from, is not just a one-sided affair. If it were, it would be impossible for us to do. But the grace of the Holy Spirit lifts us far beyond what you and I could ever possibly do on our own. And we sang about this last week in the Troparion hymn to Pentecost. The grace of the Holy Spirit, it said, made the fishermen wise by sending down upon them the Holy Spirit. It made the fishermen wise. It turned unlearned men into theologians. It made the weak strong. The Holy Spirit can turn sinners into saints. Our own St. Simeon, the new theologian, says that in times of peace, a saint becoming a saint, he says, consists in nothing else but mortifying our own self-will, putting aside, without which, he says, we are not able to observe even one of God's commandments as long as we put ourselves first. I was trying to think of what makes a saint, and I saw that one of the most amazing characteristics of nearly all the saints, I guess all of them, is that each of them realized and truly believed that they were the worst sinner on the face of this earth. They really believe that. St. Paul said in the Epistle to the Romans, Christ our God came to save sinners of whom I am the first. Okay, St. Paul had persecuted the church and had taken part in the martyrdom of St. Stephen and probably the murder of several others. So possibly he could say that and really mean it. But what about people like our own St. Simeon the new theologian, who lived a holy life practically from birth almost? He says in his communion prayer, no one has sinned against thee as I have, nor done the deeds I have done. What about St. John Chrysostom, probably the greatest preacher the church has ever known, a man who suffered terribly to try to bring holiness to his people and the teachings of the Orthodox Church. He was exiled several times and ended up dying in exile. He says in his own communion prayer, which we're going to say later, in this liturgy, he says, I believe and confess that thou art Christ who didst come into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. How can they say that? How can this be? How can the saints honestly believe that they are the worst sinner on the face of the earth? Worse than murderers, adulterers, rapists, pedophiles, thieves. It's because, my brothers and sisters, that once they were able to get past their own pride, once we are able to get past our own pride and our own will and allow God to plant the Holy Spirit into our soul, then we ourselves will see ourselves for the first time really as we really are. When we see ourselves before God as we really are, it is probably not going to be a pretty picture. The prophet Isaiah just got a glimpse of the glory of God, and he fell on his face and cried out in fear, the fear of God, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." When we see ourselves, the closer we get to God, the closer we grow in holiness, the more we see ourselves as we really are. And when we see ourselves as fallen as we really are, then we are not able to look at anybody else's sins. We see only ourselves and not the fault of others. And that is how they can say, "I am the worst of all sinners." All saints had to die to their own selves in order to become fully alive in Christ Jesus. And once they became fully alive, they realized that they actually had been dead beforehand. It was by dying to their self-will that they learned how to live. My brothers and sisters, the saints lived in the kingdom of God even while they lived on earth. We go in and out of the kingdom of God. Every time we attend a divine liturgy, we are entering into the kingdom of God. The priest lifts up the gospels and says, "Blessed is the kingdom." And at that moment, we are called upon to lay aside all earthly cares, as we say in the cherubic hymn, so that we may receive the King. And for this short hour and a half to 2 hours, we have laid aside the world. We've done what the gospel asks us to do today. We have laid it aside in order that we might live in the kingdom. But the saints continued to live in this kingdom once the divine liturgy was over. They continued to live in it, and they embodied the virtues that are mentioned in the Beatitudes, those virtues through which Christ showed us how to become a saint and how a member of his kingdom should live. After confessing Christ before men and taking up the cross and following him, then the saints were shown the virtues needed to embody the Beatitudes, to become poor in spirit, to become meek, to become a peacemaker, to hunger and thirst after righteousness, to be merciful, to be pure in heart, and all the rest of the Beatitudes that we just got through singing. But we have to remember that saints are not born. They are made. It is not hereditary to become a saint, although you might say it is contagious. No saint has ever really becomes a saint by himself. In families where there's one saint, you often find another. Saint Basil the Great had about four brothers and a sister who is saints, and so is his mother and father. So you might say it's contagious, that when you allow the Holy Spirit to rule in your lives, it will overflow onto others. But that's the purpose of the church, is to offer that to us. As I mentioned last night, the purpose of the church is to make a saint, is to make saints out of all of us. It is to, in essence, be a factory to produce saints. And if we are here today for any other reason than to become a saint, then perhaps we are wasting one of the most important gifts that are being offered unto us today. There is nothing, not a single thing that is needed to become a saint that is not going to be offered to you and to me today in this divine liturgy. No monk in any monastery has anything offered unto him that is not offered to you and to me today. The tiniest Orthodox church tucked away in the farthest backwater of the Diocese of the South contains the fullness of the faith that is offered in the greatest cathedral anywhere in the world. The body and blood of Christ that we are going to be offered through the grace of the Holy Spirit today is the same one that's going to be offered at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, at the Monastery of St. Catherine on Mount Sinai, the same one offered at Christ the Savior Cathedral in Moscow, the same one offered at Philotheou on Mount Athos. It is the same body and blood of Christ. And just as they were called to be saints, so are we. And we have such great examples of saints all around us, as St. Paul says, the cloud of witnesses around us to show us the way to do this. St. Paul tells the Hebrews to put aside the weight of earth, of earthly things that holds us down and keeps us from becoming saints, and to repent of the sins which so easily ensnare us, and to run with endurance the race that Christ has set before us. And that race is to become saints, looking only to Jesus, focusing on Jesus Christ himself as the author and finisher of our faith, who endured the cross for us and put before us the throne of God. My brothers and sisters, may we too, at our own graduation party, hear those wonderful words that Christ says to all saints. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy that I have prepared for you from all ages. He said that to each and every saint that we honor on this day, known and unknown, those who are officially canonized and those whom we know not anything about. And as we honor them, we are honoring Christ. We cannot honor a saint without honoring God. It goes hand in hand. You don't have one or the other. And as we honor the saints today, let us honor God, remembering the Prokimenon psalm that we sang this morning. God is wonderful in his saints, the God of Israel. Through the prayers of all the saints of God, known and unknown, may the Lord Jesus Christ our God have mercy on us and save us. Amen. Glory be to Jesus Christ. Glory to Christ.